Revelation 3. Revelation 3. And let me start at verse 18. You remember the description that Christ gave of them as being wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And then in verse 18 he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold refined by fire, that thou mayest become rich, and white garments, that thou mayest clothe thyself, and that the shame of thy nakedness be not made manifest, and eye salve to anoint thine eyes, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I reprove and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. He that overcometh, I will give to him to sit down with me in my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you that whatever our need is, thy word from the lips of thy Son is sufficient to meet it. Is he not the one who said, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I may speak a word in season to him that is weary? We thank you for these words, whether they be strong words or tender words or words of exhortation, whatever sort. We thank you for all the words that thy Son has spoken, and we pray that we shall take them to heart. He knows what we should be. Often we know not what we should be. We know not our present condition, but we're thankful that he does, and he is the faithful and true witness. So, Father, let us hear his voice, we ask of thee. Thou knowest our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. Thou knowest the hearts of thy saints. Thou must work upon them. And thou knowest that the word must be spoken in power if anything is to be accomplished. So, knowing all these things, Father, look upon us and bless us, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. I was disappointed Sunday for this reason. For the first time in ever so many years, I wore a new suit and not one of you noticed it. Now, it may have been because of the disturbance we had. And isn't that strange? Here I am, and no one noticed it. But let me tell you, one time I specifically remember it being noticed. You know, in the summertime, I wear my little jacket, the little dark blue one, and Willie McNeil comes up and he takes his finger and he says, Brother John, he says, what is this? And so that's all that I need to tell you. Do you understand? So people at times notice what you wear. At other times they do not notice what you wear. But I did. Since I was up around Washington, D.C., I saw this lovely suit of clothes, and I bought it and I wore it. And, well, perhaps I'm just so impeccably dressed all along, you never notice those things. But anyway, I did wear a new suit, and no one told me about it. Well, when have you bought any new clothes lately? Spiritual clothes. My wife at times has to say, have you looked at what you're wearing lately? And I say, no. She'll say, you need something else. And at times she threatens to throw out the things that I've been wearing. You see, what happens is this. You go on the same way, and you don't notice them, but others notice them. And so, let me ask you, when is the last time that you bought anything from God? I read to you, I counsel thee to buy of me. And he says, I have gold, and I have raiment, I have eye salve. When did you last buy any gold from God, or any white garments, or any eye salve? You say, I do not remember. Well, that is why the Lord sends His servants along to tell you of an existing condition of which you're not even aware. You can go along and not even know what your appearance is to others. And this is what is wrong with them at Laodicea, and that is why Christ tells them. They say, we are rich and have gotten riches and have need of nothing. And He says, and knowest not that thou art the wretched one and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And so they said, all is well. The Lord Jesus said, all is wrong. Well, when is the last time you have spiritually looked at yourself and said, I need to make some purchases from God? You say, I can't recall. Well, that is fine if you are infallible in your doctrine and you are above reproach in your outward behavior, and at the same time you are without error in your thinking. But most of us have need, and this is what Christ is doing. He is telling us to examine ourselves in the light of what He has told us, and having told us what He has, then the only thing to do is to rush to God's storehouse and buy the things that He tells us we have need of. Now, I want you to notice these three things that He mentions: gold, white garments, and eye salve. And as I analyze them, I would say that the gold would be suggestive of doctrinal things that we have to purchase, and the white garments, practical things that we have to purchase, and the eye salve, intellectual things that we have to purchase. Because it says that the proof of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it be proved by fire. And so here is faith. That is a doctrine. And the Lord Jesus speaks about the weightier matters of the law. He speaks of faith and love and justice, all of those things. So here are doctrinal things, and people of God should constantly examine the doctrines that they hold to see if there are any impurities in them. Apollos was such a man. He was one who was limited in the knowledge that he had. And if you have a degree of knowledge in the days of John the Baptist, but then John the Baptist is superseded and Christ's full teaching is not embraced, then you have imperfect gold. Like this, Christ sent His disciples out at the first and He said, take nothing for your journey. But later on He said, take provisions for your journey. And so many of us have doctrines that are, if they are not impure, needing purifying by gold, they're outdated and they need to be brought up to date. And Christ says, I want you to buy of me gold refined by fire. And so gold would be like unto doctrinal things. And white garments are practical things. Here is a white garment. That is something that is seen outwardly. But I venture to say that just as the rich man in Luke 16, it said, he was clothed magnificently. But Christ would say, you are naked. And so you look at yourself in the physical clothing that you wear, and people can look and evaluate. But few of us are aware of the spiritual clothing that we wear. And this is what Christ is talking about. He said, you are naked, and you need to buy white garments from me. And because of that, here is something that is outward. And what is a white garment that Christ wants us to buy from Him? And it's this. Peter gives us the hint in chapter 3 when he speaks about outward adorning, but then he speaks of another adorning. He says, the incorruptible apparel of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is a great price. And so here, I am something outwardly in what I wear, but at the same time, I am something outwardly also that I wear that is spiritual. There are two kinds of garments that you wear. Here is a sister. She has a covering on. That's the outward garment. But if she is not in subjection to her husband, then she has no garment on outwardly. There is the incorruptible apparel. Here is this apparel that is outward, and that is what Christ is talking about. And he said, I want you to buy of me white garments, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness be not made manifest. So here we are, and we are dressed acceptably to the natural eye, and yet Christ has looked at us, and he says, you are naked. And he says, I want you to buy white garments from me. And this is something practical. It is a practical putting into operation in your life these doctrinal things that you have purchased from God. You have finally ascertained what is pure gold doctrinally, but having ascertained it, the next step is to harmonize outwardly with your life the gold that you purchased from God, the doctrine that you paid a great price for. This is what the Lord Jesus says. He speaks to the Jews and he says, go learn what this meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Go learn what this means. He spoke to them later and he said, if you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. So if they had learned the scripture, if they had bought the pure gold of the scripture, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, he said, you would not have behaved in the way that you did behave. And so there is the inward perception, the holding of correct doctrine, and then there is the outward, the practical manifestation of it in your life. And so if some of us finally do get grounded doctrinally, and we say our doctrine is pure gold without impurities, and then the Lord Jesus says, well, do the garments that you wear correspond to the doctrine that you hold? Now, this could not be said in the church at Pergamos or at Thyatira. It says you have some there that hold the teaching of Balaam. You have some that are Nicolaitans. And he says, you have some that follow Jezebel. She seduceth and teacheth my servants to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed to idols. And so, that being so, they do not have white garments. They have defiled garments. And so the Lord tells us to get rid of these defiled garments because to him, they do not cover us and we are naked in his sight. And he says, I counsel thee to buy of me white garments that the shame of thy nakedness be not made manifest. I told you this. I told you that if you go to God's place of provision, you have to pay the highest price imaginable to purchase what he has for sale, because there is no other place that sells them. God has no competition. You have cheap substitutes. You can go and get the world's garments, but you cannot purchase the white garments from Christ other than at his price. And if you're not prepared to pay it, then you'll have to continue to wear those spotted garments that you wear. And so when he's talking about white garments, he's talking about the outward manner of life that we live, the putting into practice the things that we hold. Now, if you are one who follows Balaam or the Nicolaitans, why, your garments are foul and defiled. We don't want those. He says, I want you to buy of me white garments that thy nakedness be not made manifest. And they're very costly. Let me give you an example. Do you have on a garment of righteousness and purity as you go through the world? I'll tell you who won, who paid a great price for a white garment of righteousness and purity. His name was Joseph. Potiphar's wife had her eye upon him, and she said, come, lie with me. And he said, no. And he fled, and she snatched his garment. And having snatched his garment, while it looked as if he were naked, in reality, he was clothed with a white garment, the garment of purity and faithfulness to God. And you know what he paid for it? 2 years in prison. Would you pay that for a white garment? That's what it cost him. Cast him into prison. 2 years. Why? because he was determined to wear white garments. And God said, that's the price, Joseph. If you're going to wear a white garment, that is the price you have to pay. Joseph said, I will pay it. And so often we criticize Jacob, but I want to tell you that he wore a garment of purity when it came to sexual relations with the woman he was going to marry. His father-in-law-to-be, Laban, said, you must work for my daughter Rachel 7 years. And this man refrained 7 years for having any physical relationship with Rachel. And when the 7 years were done, he said, the time is up. Let me go in unto my wife. Criticize Jacob about that. How many young people today wait 7 years and have purity and integrity? Here is Joseph, the son of Jacob. And here is Jacob himself. Isn't that remarkable? With all of Jacob's faults, there was not an impurity in his relationship with his wife-to-be. And concerning Joseph in Egypt, there was no impurity in relation to Potiphar's wife. Here are two men, father and son, and both of them wear white garments. And it cost Jacob 7 years' labor, and it cost Joseph 2 years in prison. Do you see why so seldom we buy new garments from God? It's much easier to wear the old, spotted, defiled garments that we do. It's much easier to just take the doctrines as we are preached and not search the scriptures daily as the Bereans did to find out whether they are so. And because of that, we have gold that needs purifying, and we have garments that are defiled. Let me tell you another white garment that is to be desired. It says, pure religion and undefiled before our God and Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widow in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Tell me, do you have that kind of garment? Do you wear it? You say, I don't know. Why, of course not. It's too costly. Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. And so, you need the garment. Perhaps I need it also. And we can get it. But you have to pay the price. Do you remember Isaiah 55? He said, come, buy without money and without price. That is, any material money or price. But I've told you the great cost to individuals who buy these things at God's house of provision. Gold, God says, I'll sell it to you. You want white raiment? I will sell it to you. But who ever heard of 7 years, 2 years, such prices that God charges? He said, it's the only way you're going to get it. You can't have it. I won't make it one day less. 7 years. All right, I'll give you 7 years. 2 years in prison. Joseph said, I will pay it. So that's what we have to do. And that is why so few of us wear newly purchased garments from God, because they're so costly. You look around for a bargain, you can always find them. The world, denominations, I've seen it. I've had people, young ladies, to come to me asking about marriage and divorce. And they asked me, and I told them the truth of God. And they said, well, I was at another church, and the pastor told me, and whose advice do you think that they take? You see, there are bargain basement prices everywhere. And not only so, about worldliness. Tell me, is it wrong denying ungodliness? Is this wrong in the world? Well, so many of us are so engrossed by all that is of the world, we are not able to discern whether it is of God or whether it is of the world. But there is such a thing as separation, and perhaps we are so defiled we do not even know what that separation means. But the Lord speaks about white garments, and unspotted from the world, to visit the fatherless and the widow. And it says, put on the breastplate of faith. These are the garments. These are the incorruptible garments, it says, of a meek and quiet spirit. Here is an inward disposition, and it's manifested outwardly. And the world will notice it. If you're like the world, they notice nothing. But if you're unlike the world, they will notice that. Let me tell you the price that Peter refused to pay at first for a certain garment. But when he paid it, everybody noticed it. He turned out to be a coward when the maid said, aren't you a follower of Jesus of Nazareth? I do not know the man. You know the rest of the story. But in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John stood up and they preached Christ without fear. And it says, when those enemies of Christ saw the boldness of Peter and John, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Anybody take a notice of you lately that you've been with Jesus because of your boldness to preach the word without fear of repercussions? You say, well, I'm very guarded in my statements. I tell you these things. So you want to buy the garment of boldness? It's ever so costly. Cast them into prison and they stay there. Beat them, but still they say, I must wear this garment. And they were prepared to pay the price. And if not, you and I can wear our bargain basement garments, but they are not of God. And God looks at them and he says, you are naked. No matter what we put on that did not come from him, we're either naked or we have gold, but it's impure gold, or we have garments, but there are spots on those garments. That is what he would have us to understand. And he says, I counsel thee to buy of me. And then he says, I salve that thou mayest see. Here is intellectual. If you have the doctrinal and the practical, there is also the intellectual. Why? Because it says you need eye salve so you can see. You need discernment. You need ability to comprehend. And he said, the only way you can get it is to buy eye salve from me. There are two things. There is one who anoints the eyes, but there is also the ointment with which he anoints the eyes. Notice, eye salve that you may anoint your eyes that you may see. And I thought, and it's ever so evident what that eye salve is, it is simply the light of truth. The light of truth. This is what it says in John chapter 3. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For he that hateth the light cometh not to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that is of the truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are of God. And here is one who is vile and sinful and contemptible, and he's not coming to the light. Why? Because the light will expose him and show him what he is. And because of that, God says, look, I have eye salve for you, the light of truth. But do you think that those saints at Laodicea want that eye salve? How much it would burn and sting. Why? I'm rich and I've gotten riches and I have need of nothing. God says, let me put this eye salve on your eyes. He says, you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And it burns so severely that you say, I don't want that eye salve on my eyes. And many people never accept it. There are those who go through life and they never acknowledge what they are. And that is why Christ said, I am the Amen. I am the faithful and true witness. And the eye salve is the light of the truth as it's found in God's word. And the Lord said, you can buy it from me. But if you buy it and apply it, then I assure you that your eyes will burn and be pained like they never have before. But then it says, if we confess our sins, then instead of saying, I am rich, and Christ says, you are poor, if you confess your sins, then you agree with Christ's estimate of you. And what has happened? Why, that eye salve has worked, and now you're able to see. That's what he wants us to do. And so I want golden doctrine without impurities, and I want white garments that are purchased from Christ, and I want eye salve, no matter how much it exposes my barrenness and my nakedness and my miserableness. I must have that eye salve. And the Lord Jesus says, you can get it from me if you are prepared to pay. But it says this in Matthew 13. It says, their eyes they have closed. Why? They do not want the eye salve. And you remember when Stephen was preaching, it says they stuck their fingers in their ears. Why? They do not want any medicine in their ears so that they can hear. And they do not want any light of truth in their eyes so they can see. And so God says, well, you're still blind. And if you will not buy his white garments, you're still naked. And if you insist on having your own traditional doctrines, he says, you have gold, if it is gold and it is impure and it needs to be refined by fire. But he says, I counsel you to buy of me. It says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And having said that, then this is the next loving statement that he makes. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Think of what he's saying here. Let me ask you, have you ever heard that scripture quoted, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst? Have you heard that? You say, yes, so many times. The Lord Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Where is Christ here? You say, well, he's not in the midst, he's on the outside. Yes. And have you ever heard that Christ indwells the church? It says in Colossians, it says, what is the mystery, the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory? Well, let me ask you, is Christ in these saints at Laodicea? You said, no, he's on the outside. And this is what Christians fail to understand. They do not understand the distinction between the indwelling of the Spirit and the filling of the Spirit. And they do not understand about the gracious indwelling of Christ that occurs when you believe, and then the conditional indwelling of Christ that is conditional upon your obedience and yieldedness when he knocks at the door. You say, how can that be? It is. That you are indwelt by Christ, that is evident. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But Christ says, I'm on the outside. I'm knocking to get in. So remember that. As for your being saved, and as for Christ being in you because of the doctrine of grace, yes, that's true. But the practical side is this. As to the matter of fellowship, Christ may constantly stay outside of you. It's like this. You are indwelt by the Spirit of God. But if you're going to experience the fullness of God, it says, grieve not the Spirit, quench not the Spirit. The Spirit is in you, but if he's grieved or quenched, he will not fill you. You will not experience the fullness. And though Christ dwells in you, if you will not yield to him and buy the gold and the garments and the eye salve, then he is on the outside as to fellowship, and he knocks asking to come in. So where is Christ in you tonight? Is he inside? All of us can say that if we're saved. Well, what about fellowship with Christ? The gold, the garments, the eye salve, have you bought them all? If you say no, then Christ is on the outside. I want you to think just for a moment of the reversal. How gracious it is here. Do you realize that he knocks and he says, if you hear his voice and open, he will come in. In a coming day, this is going to be reversed. He says in Luke 13, strive to enter in at the narrow door. He says, the time is going to come when the master of the house shall rise up and shut to the door. And you shall stand without, knocking, saying, open to us. So here is a door, and Christ shuts that door, and you are knocking to get in. And the Lord Jesus says, you'll never get in. I do not know who you are. But right now, this is reversed. Here are you. You belong to Christ. And yet, because of your sin, because of your vanity and ego and complacency, the Lord Jesus is shut out. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I wonder about this. If someone treated me in such a way, I would not want to get in. But the Lord Jesus says, even though you are this way, he says, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking and I want admission. That's the remarkable thing, that even in our spiritual condition as described in the church at Laodicea, the Lord Jesus says, I still want to come in. If you ever get a chance, you will find this verse in the Song of Solomon. I won't tell you any more than that. But it says, I was asleep, but my heart awaked. It is the voice of my beloved saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. So here is Christ in the Old Testament, and here is Christ in the New Testament. And as there, he's on the outside. So here again, he is on the outside, but he loves us and he wants admission for fellowship. And he says, I stand at the door and knock. And here's what I found. I've never found any place in Scripture where Christ intruded without invitation into the lives of those whose paths his life crossed. I think of this. I told you the other week, he was walking upon the sea, and it says he would have passed by them, but they cried out for fear. And when they did, he said, be not afraid, it is I. And it says in John 6, they were willing to receive him into the boat. In Luke chapter 24, on the road to Emmaus, it said he made as if he would go further, but they invited him in. And when they did, he came in. And here is the third example. The Lord Jesus said, I'm on the outside. Why doesn't he break the door down? Because Christ never does that. He said, I'm knocking at the door. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And so here he is. And what he does is to put forth sweet influences upon your heart, and they're inward. Notice, he says, I want to get in. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. Here is the word of God sown in the heart. Satan takes some of it away. Some hearts are stony and some are filled with thorns. And here is a heart that is so filled with self-satisfaction and ego that Christ says, I have to knock on the door. But here he says, if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I'll sup with you and he with me. The Lord Jesus wants fellowship. When is the last time that you purposely opened your life and admitted Christ into it and fed him the things that you had and ate the things that he had to share with you? When is the last time? You say, well, I do not know that Christ is knocking. Why? That's exactly the condition of the church at Laodicea. So many things, and we have shut him out. And yet he loves us, and he says, open unto me. But he's waiting. You are the one who controls the door. He controls the door to salvation, and you control the door to fellowship. Notice his sweet overtures. He said, I'm standing there. I'm knocking. I'm calling to you. I want your fellowship. And we either leave the door shut, or we open it. And if we open it, he comes in, and life has a sweetness and a joy to it that there never was before. But if not, then he remains without. God says, I have many things for sale. When are we going to buy them? It says, buy the truth. Sell it not. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, for the embarrassing, shameful condition that we are in spiritually, we confess that sin, but we confess a double sin that we're not even aware of it. We thank you for your great faithfulness. We rejoice that our Savior is the Amen, the faithful and true witness. And for that reason, our God, let us come to thy storehouse and let us buy gold and white garments and eye salve, our Father. And then indeed let us be rich and clothed and let us see. Let us know what is necessary to accomplish this. Work upon our hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.